It's your girl, She Clay All Day, aka Shani the Shooter. My name is Shanice Del Yar. You know what it is. And we are back for another episode of the Shani Show podcast. Yeah. We back, y'all. We back with another episode. I'm glad to be back. We got a few things to talk about today. I need to clear up some things. I kind of want to talk about spirituality. And yeah, let's just jump right into the episode. Y'all miss me? Because I miss y'all. And I'm trying to be more, present in, like, my things that I do as far as, like, making jewelry, shooting content, showing up on my social medias for my small businesses and self-care / spiritual journey things. Like, I'm trying to be more present in these things just because I do tend to, like, say fuck it and just, like, get into the bed and not really do anything because my energy is just too low. Like, I be overexerting myself sometimes, and sometimes my energy meter just really be on E. Having the energy to really, like, tap in how I want to do things, but I am grateful because I have had some of that energy to do these things here in the past couple weeks, despite, you know, physical stress from my job, despite mental stress from my job, despite literally, like, having some neck and shoulder pain and this random rash on my neck. You know, like, my job was stressing me out, and I was literally getting physical stress on my body and mental stress on my body. And even despite feeling like that, these last 2 weeks have still been pretty productive, and I am very grateful for that. So ashe, 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 all right? And let's get into the episode, all right? You probably gonna hear my dogs because they being nosy, and I don't know. I came in here to shoot this episode of the podcast. I left Hollow in the back because she was watching Moana, but I could clearly tell that she was not fucking with that movie. So I turned Moana off and put Bluey on because that's her shit. And she back there with her bottle, her pacifier, and her toys, and her crib, and she's chilling, okay? So I came in here to my living room, and it was raining yesterday, so I was going to step outside and shoot the episode outside, but it's kind of wet out there because it was raining all day yesterday. So, I was going to do some grounding, basically, but we in here in my living room, and now my dog's starting to cut up because they like, oh, you coming in here with us today? Oh, okay. Like, no, y'all, I need y'all to sit down and be quiet and let me get done with this episode, all right? And I'm hearing a lawnmower now, so that means these motherfuckers about to mow the lawn. And you know what? I'm over it. I'm over it. It's literally 9:45 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, and they already about to ramp me up. Because they out here about to make a whole bunch of noise, and I want to do this episode. So we're going to pay some bills. I'm going to go woo-saw, and I'm going to come back on this episode for the next segment. Before things get too loud outside, because like I said, they're out here doing the lawn care in my complex. They cut the grass every Tuesday morning, and it's like somehow I bear witness to that, but I always forget yet when it rolls around. I think I just be so shocked that another week has gone by, and it's like, didn't y'all niggas just cut the grass yesterday? My thinking, but no, it was a week ago, you know, like it was last Tuesday. They do that shit every Tuesday, so time's just been doing a weird thing, you know. Everything just kind of blurs together for me sometimes, and I just be like sitting here like, what what happened, what time is it, where are we, what timeline, like, you know, what year is it, what day is it, you know. So yes, let's get into this next segment. So, I do want to take the time to apologize because I said some insensitive things and I didn't even realize that I was saying them. So when I did the episode about Just Hilarious and that Blessings woman, who is a trans woman, who was saying that, cisgendered women do not own menstruals. And like, it's childbirth, I think, was another point that was being made. And I got my fat ass up on this platform and said, you know, like, we're the only ones that bleed, so why don't we own that shit? And I was watching a few days ago, I seen a clip from the Jason Lee show, because T.S. Madison had made some comments on this too. And that's what I was watching, actually. And T.S. Madison was saying, like, yeah, I heard Blessings, like, saying what she was saying, but I completely took that shit out of context. And I'm like, what you mean? And she said, T.S. Madison said, cisgender women aren't the only women that bleed. Actually, trans men bleed too. And intersex individuals. And I said, oh my God. You right, sis. You are right. And I didn't even consider them. I didn't even consider that. And I know that. And I just, like, that shit went right over my head. And I stood on this motherfucking platform spewing bullshit, you know? Like, so I want to apologize because I never want to come off as insensitive. I never want to come off as privileged because I am a cisgendered woman. I never want to, like, disrespect or demean the trans community because, like, I'm a queer woman and, you know, like, I just want to make sure I'm respecting everybody because I want motherfuckers to respect me, so I make sure that I respect other people. And that's just where I stand on it. So I just wanted to, yeah, come on here and apologize because I have trans friends. And, like, I don't know if y'all heard that episode or not, but if you didn't, you was like, Shanice, what you talking about? Like, let me be the one to rectify that. So, yes. Actually, I do. Jess Hilarious had said, who was going to protect the actual black woman? I still felt that, and I still feel that, because I do still feel that black women, black trans women included, are just, you know, like, sometimes it be bottom of, it be given, people be given, like, bottom of the barrel energy to us. Or, like, they be, it's just weird, like, it's very weird, and anti-black things, anti, like, women things that just be said, and just all these ideals that kind of just be around in the ether, on social media, in society, on Twitter, you know, like, in these spaces, and it don't really seem like there's a lot of love for the black woman. I still feel that. So, that's just my perception. That's how I'm seeing things. And I definitely agree with that point of Jess's little spiel. However, I have, you know, I now realize that cis women aren't the only ones that menstruate. So, therefore, we don't have the ability to gatekeep. Or, I don't even like the word gatekeep because that's a negative word. That's you trying to, like, keep people from finding out information or keep people from, like, getting into, you know, like, that's gatekeeping. That's like a negative thing anyway. So, like, but cisgendered women are not we're the only people that bleed. We're not. We literally are not. And you can take, if you have different feelings about that, that's, take that up with who you need to take that up with. But as far as me and what I believe, I'm like, oh shit. Actually, T.S. Madison is right, and I misunderstood what Blessings was saying too, because I got very triggered. Like, what the fuck you mean? What the fuck do you actually mean, girl? And now I'm actually hearing and taking the time to, like, oh, that is what she meant. And she was right. And so I'm sorry, Blessings, for even, you know, making it seem like you was crazy or making it seem like you was saying some off the wall shit. But, like, because you wasn't. You are absolutely valid in that. And yeah, so I apologize. And I want to go ahead and get that, you know, say that first. So, yes, today's episode, we're going to talk about spirituality. I also went on this date, y'all, and I want to tell y'all about that. So let's start talking about spirituality, and then maybe that'll be like the, maybe I'll talk about the date and the outro. Oh my gosh. So I went, today is Tuesday. I went on that date on Sunday, and okay. Yeah. So I'm going to save that for the outro. So let's talk a little bit about spirituality. Like I said earlier that I was going to go outside and just kind of like try to do some grounding because I feel that I've been needing that these last 2 weeks, you know. Basically I have been off work. I've been utilizing my vacation, sick time, PTO, etc. to take some time off of work. So this will be my third week off of work. I took some, you know, I have some money in my savings for my rent and bills. And then, you know, I basically put my most recent paycheck into my savings as well. You know, just so I'm sitting on that money, I can still pay my bills. And in the meantime, I can ground myself, do this spiritual work, tap in with myself, and just kind of, you know, see what the fuck, what we about to do, you know, because clearly there is a spirit of change that I've been feeling for a while. And the first, I was feeling that way, and then some things started happening at my job. The first thing that happened at my job was they told me that, well, my supervisor, that's no longer my supervisor because she got fired not too long ago, she told me one morning that the work from home position was getting ready to go away and they are about to request all of us to come back to work. I said, first of all, girl, why are you telling me this at the beginning of my shift? I have an anxiety disorder, okay? I get overwhelmed very easily. And you know, like, it's very, very easily. So that morning, I was already overwhelmed just seeing how much work I was gonna have to do that day. I came in, like I clocked in with like a whole page of emails. Then I looked at my schedule and all my call outs and I'm like, yeah, today is gonna be a day. And normally like Wednesdays are usually busy because it's like the, you know, the middle of the week. But this was like a Monday or a Tuesday. Not a day that I was expecting to have a heavy schedule like that. So I'm trying to like, you know, get into the swing of things, even though I'm feeling overwhelmed already because like this day is about to be a crazy day, clearly. And so my supervisor, like I'm on the phone with a client and my supervisor tried to call me and I'm like, girl, I'm on the phone. And I know you can see I'm on the phone because you're a supervisor. You can see I'm on the phone. What are you trying to call me for? Like, what is going on? And then she IM'd me and she said, yeah, just call me when you get off the phone. And I'm like, okay, like clearly something is going on or something, like what the fuck. So I call her after that and she proceeds to tell me that the work from home position that my job has, mind you, they only sent us home because COVID happened in 2020. So we were already working in the office. I haven't been work from home this whole 5 years that I've been at my job. I've only been working from home since like the end of February, beginning of March of 2020. September of 2020, I took a leave of absence because by that time we had been in the quarantine. My husband was going through some shit with like trying to keep and maintain a job, which was difficult because COVID was going on and motherfuckers was getting sick and jobs was getting shut down because of COVID outbreaks. It was crazy. We was, you know, going to the grocery store was crazy. You could only get like, we remember these times. We remember. It's only 2023. This was only like 2 years ago. We were, or you know, almost 3 years ago, but about 3 years ago. So we remember this time, right? So yeah, I've been working from home since then. I came when I took that leave of absence. I was out of the office for 2 months, and then I came back in November on a part-time schedule. And so November of 2020 up until this present day, November of 2020. Up until about July of last year, I was part-time at my job. Still working from home, part-time. Well, when I found out that I was pregnant, that summer, I went back to being full time just because I was trying to stack my money. We was about to go into the nesting period. My daughter was born in October. So around like June, July, I went full time, back to being full time at my job, still working from home. So from July of last year, till now, I've been full time in my job. I did maternity leave. I had my daughter in October. I came back to work in January of this year. So I really had November, December. I had 2 months. I had a 2-month-old going back to work full time. And ladies, mamas that are out there with babies, this, you know, for some of us, this is normal. Some of us have to go back to work immediately after having a baby. I was blessed to be out of work for 2 months. And then I went back in January of this year. And I already knew from being at work for a few weeks, I already knew it was going to be overwhelming. So I tried to pull that card like, hey, so can I change my schedule? Can I go back to being part-time? Because I have a baby. I'm a new mom. I do have, you know, mental health things. And yes, I am very overwhelmed because y'all just threw me right back into this. Like, it wasn't, no, we going gradually, like, we know you just had a baby. Like, nah, they threw me right the fuck back in that shit. And it was overwhelming immediately. So I was like, and I went through postpartum too. Like, I went through postpartum real heavy. So I was having a tough time. That's basically the point I'm trying to make, the picture I'm trying to paint here. I was having a tough time readjusting being back at work. Still having a tough time readjusting being back at work. And it's August. So, they want me to come back to the office. Because I have been at my job for so long, they are giving me the option to do what's called a hybrid schedule, which means that I could work 2 days in the office and 3 days at home. That still does not work for me because I have a child that we don't have the extra, you know, $150 up to basically $300-$400 to put our daughter into daycare. I did think that I would remain work from home. I did not expect that they would take the position, the work from home position away and send us back. You know, I did not expect that any of this would happen because, you know, we had this like survey basically that was like, hey, in like 2021, towards the end of 2021, they were starting to ask these questions like, do you want to come back to the office or would you prefer to stay work from home? You have the tenure, you have the stats to stay work from home. So what would you prefer? And I chose to stay work from home. The fuck? I chose that. And it's been like a year or two since I made that decision. And they just like, well, we've decided, which they have every right to do, but it's just like, damn, all right. So now I got to pivot. And you know, like that pivot may look like I may not be working here no more. You know, this may be it. This may be that I'm telling y'all that change. I've been feeling that spirit of change. And the first thing that happened in feeling that spirit of change was my supervisor letting me know that they was about to do without this work from home job. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna have to figure things out. I'm gonna have to start applying for some jobs, which I did. I haven't really heard anything back from anything in any place yet, which is also tough. You know, this point in time after COVID and, you know, like finding a job is not necessarily the easiest thing right now. At least in my experience, that's what I'm seeking. That's what I'm like seeing. But yeah, so that happened. And then, so here we are. I think they want that change to happen August 17th. So August 1st, I just woke up. And I woke up that morning and my husband was still here. He was saying he wasn't feeling well. So like he called in sick to work because like he wasn't feeling well. And I don't know, like something in me, call it intuition, call it spirit, call it, you know, like something in me was like, Shanice, you also been feeling like, you know, like he called into work today because his stomach is upset. You you have been experiencing neck pain, shoulder pain, you can physically feel the stress and this tension that this job is causing you. You can feel that shit, and you've been able to feel it. So if this man called in for a stomach ache, I'm pretty sure, you know, like, you need to, you can use that to, you know, reevaluate what the fuck you about to do about your work situation, because sis, you are not feeling well either, and you just trying to, like, suck that shit up and just, you know, like, go to work, you know, even though it's literally killing you. Like, you gotta do something. You need to, I don't know, get up and move your body around, or, you know, like, you need to take a break so you can get your mind right. That's what happened to me that morning. That was like August 1st. And here we are, it is August 15th. So I've been off work for 2 weeks, pivoting, readjusting, recalibrating. And in this 2 weeks, like I said, it's been very productive. I've had people hit me up about content creation. I've got some photo shoots that I'm working on. I networked with this girl named Anissa, who I met last year. I met her last year at a spiritual event, and now I'm working with her at her studio this year, freelancing for her because she needs someone to be able to help her. She has a social media marketing business, basically, where she does offer photography services, content creation services, brand marketing, all the things. Like, sis is well versed in business, okay, and how to, like, build your, she's from Chicago, so, like, it, you know, like, she knows a lot about business, and I love that, and I need that, because I don't know shit about it, okay. I've been working since I was like 15, you know, working for the man since I was like 15. I don't know too much about my own business and doing things that way, even though I've been on my entrepreneur journey for about a decade now. Well, yeah, for about a decade. So I'm freelancing for Anissa in this time. I'm creating content for other people, booked, getting paid to do that. I'm creating my own content. Still have my Chic Clay All Day business going, and now I'm basically rebranding my photography business under a new name, which is She Studio & Co., because that's the goal. The goal is to have my own space, studio space, where I can record my podcast and do photography and have my computers and lighting and backdrops and stuff set up in there, so that's not all up in my fucking closet in my office. My office looks a fucking mess because all that shit's in there. But, like, that's the goal, is to have my own space, and that's why we rebranded Shani the Shooter to She Studio & Co., and it's basically the umbrella term for all of my entrepreneur stuff. I will have my own space, maybe even a brick and mortar, you know, and I'll be doing my photography things, I'll be doing content creation, I'll be doing, you know, creating my jewelry, having space to shoot my podcast. You know, it'll just be like my she cave, basically, but it's literally like my business, and that's what I'm doing in there, is like my business things. That's the goal. So yeah, I've been doing all that these past 2 weeks, and this is the third week. I went to the doctor yesterday just to tell her everything that I was going through, feeling this stress and tension, and get some paperwork filled out so that we can make what's called a ADA accommodation, which stands for the American Disability Act accommodation, because I definitely have an anxiety disorder and a depression thing, mental health. And so my doctor and I are trying to get it so that I can remain work from home, and just see if they approve that. If so, then I'll go back to work. And I will remain work from home, and I won't have to go back into the office, and I can still be a stay-at-home mom and take care of my baby and my dogs and do all the things. And that's what we're working on. So yeah, sorry for that long spiel. As you can hear, the baby's up. So I gotta go get the baby, pay these bills, and we'll be back for the next segment when we'll actually dive into spirituality, because that kind of connects to what has been going on with me these past few weeks, this year. You know, so I'm gonna go grab the baby, get her together, and we'll be back for the next segment. is chilling now. She's good. So we're back with the next segment. And I kind of wanted to dive into a little conversation about spirituality. I think that's just kind of what I've been on lately, is just trying to, like, you know, go with the flow of things. I'm trying to let go of some things, but let's get into it. Okay, so you may remember a few years back, we did an episode of the French, was it called the French Dog Podcast? What the fuck was Marcus's show called? I'm so sorry, Marcus, if you're listening. My brain, you know, like, I just be forgetting things. And like I said, time is just blurring all together. Like, 2020 to now, 3 years. But, like, all that information is basically under 1 year. And it's, like, the pandemic. I think it was called High Frequency. The High Frequency Podcast. Okay. We did an episode about spirituality versus religion, and we kind of just shared some of our perspectives, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't, like, you can go listen to that episode. That should still be up, you know, in the archives and the libraries of our Flamethrower Contenta for the Ways World Network. That episode should still be up. And so that was kind of like the beginning of that journey for me. And now here we are, it's 2023. So it's been 2 years since that episode. And yeah, I'm still on that same path. I did grow up Christian. So my family started off at this church called Bethany here in Indianapolis, Indiana. I do not know if Bethany is still operating. I know that they were, like, moving into a new church at some point or something like that. I don't know. But I don't really remember that well. But my family started off at a church called Bethany. I don't know if it's Baptist, Apostolic, those kind of things. I don't really know. But it's a Christian. You know, I was raised Christian. So then my family moved to a church called Eastern Star, which is a Baptist church here in Indianapolis, and it's definitely still a church, since, like, shoot, they have so many locations. I grew up at the location on the east side, but we often visited the other locations, and then now it's, some of the west side location is, like, there's a new church years ago. They built a new church out on the west side. I've only been to that location a couple times, but I used to sing in the choir, so in the teen choir. So we used to have to, I used to ride with somebody I sang in the choir with, and we also went to school together. So I used to ride with him to choir practice and, like, sing at different services, etc., etc. So yeah, I was definitely very, what am I trying to say? I was very active in the church as far as, like, extracurriculars. I was in the kids choir. I was in the teen choir. I was in the Joy Bells. I did freaking the youth ministry. I did a lot of things, and I was very active in the church. So yeah. Then my grandmother, may she rest in peace. There was a lot of pastors that were introduced at Eastern Star that basically, I think all of them basically got their own church, like, started their own church. So I remember there was a guy with the last name, like, Ramsey. I'm pretty sure he got his own church. There was definitely Pastor Jackson, who got his own church, which is also on the east side. It's called New Beginnings. And my grandma, rest in peace, she left Eastern Star and started attending New Beginnings. Now, for a little bit of time, I was going to a new church as well. Well, two of them, because I went to Eastern Star up until, from, like, being a kid and children's church times all the way up until it was time for me to go to college. So I got a scholarship from Eastern Star to, like, go to school, which was amazing. And so, yeah, when I went off to school, I found a church home in Terre Haute, which was called Second Baptist. And I sung in the gospel choir called Ebony Majestic at ISU. And then when I, like, would come home, I was going to Mount Zion, which is an apostolic church. And I started going there because of the guy that I was dating and, like, a lot of his people went to that church, and like his mom went to that church, and so yeah, I started going to Mount Zion for a little bit, and now here we are in 2023, and I do not have a church home. My dad's mom actually had asked me, like, if I had a church home. She stopped by to bring some stuff over from Hollow, to bring some stuff over for Hollow a few months back. So, me and my dad's parents, me and my dad don't have, sorry, I got a text message from my husband just making sure he was good. Me and my dad don't necessarily have the best relationships. You know, I didn't grow up with him in my life. It was a lot of, like, chaos, and that's another story for another time. And if you listen to the Father's Day episode I did last year, I kind of, like, shed some light on that. But anyway, you know, since I got married and since having a baby, my dad's mom... not only is my dad, like, kind of in my life now, I'm an adult, so it looks, it's like, it's different, you know, like, I'm not a child that needs, you know, like, I am a grown-ass woman, so, like, be in my life or don't, you know, like, but I'm in that, like, middle, like, now I'm grown, so, like, I don't really need, you know, the... Well, I won't say that I don't need guidance and stuff still, but it is still kind of awkward, you know, for us. And I think it's because there's so much time that just, that's unaccounted for, and that he wasn't there. His parents weren't there. You know, I don't know them. He has siblings, which are my aunts. I don't know them. They have children, which makes what, that my cousins? I don't fucking know. My dad has other children. I just don't have the relationships that I would have ideally wanted to have with these people. And that goes both ways, you know, like, I haven't necessarily always been as receptive to, you know, like, enhancing those relationships, just because there's trauma there and there's things that need to be unpacked and there's time that needs to, you know, like, I need to heal. And I'm in that state, in that space, and that's probably why I've seen my dad's mom a few times in the range of time between me and Wayman getting married and now upon having our first child. Anyway, so she said, like, oh, where's your church home? And I told her I don't have a church home. I don't do church. I didn't say it, like, rude like that, but she was like, well, maybe you should come to church with me. And I was like, well, all right, you can get let's get you on where you need to be going, ma'am, because that's not for me. Like, it's just not for me. I don't feel aligned with church anymore. Not that I'm not, you know, well, actually, no, I don't consider I'm not affiliated with religion. Like, I'm not, like, if I'm getting ready to say something, and I'm gonna probably have to explain it, because I don't want y'all to, I know how y'all like to tussle, so, like, don't come for me. I'm not saying, let me just go ahead and say it, I am not a Christian. I believe in God, yes, I do, but, like, I am not, like, I'm so tired of the labels. There's a label for everything. There's a label for, like, how would you categorize yourself? Label, like, all those labels. What's your sexuality? Labels. What do you believe? Like, what's your religious beliefs? Labels. Like, it's just all these boxes. And I am no longer interested in trying to fit into a box, because for my whole life, I have been trying to fit into all these fucking boxes, and it just didn't make sense. I didn't feel like I fit in, and I just always felt, like, turmoil in that, trying to conform to things. And it's like, you can be one thing, and, or you can be a Christian and still be X, Y, and Z, right? Or you can be, you know, like, you can be more than one thing. Duality. You don't have to just put yourself into this box and you're just that. Like, once you become a mom, you're not just a mom. You know, like, sometimes you're also, for me, I'm not just a mom. I'm a wife. I'm, you know, like, I have a job, you know, like, I'm a daughter, I'm an older sister, you know, like, there are other things that I can be. That one title or that one box doesn't define me. There's infinite me's, you know, like, it's all these different timelines and stuff. Y'all seen Doctor Strange? Damn, like, y'all seen that. you know, but like there's that. There's like infinite versions of me, you know. So I don't identify as a Christian. Yes, I do believe in God, but like I think religion and me, I've needed this time to separate from that, to get to know my actual self, to get to know what I actually like, not things that people told me, people preached to me, people, you know, like not things that I internalized because of people telling me that or preaching that or laying hands over me, whatever the case may be. Like, I'm cool. I'm just chilling. I like nature and I like, you know, I like spending time with myself too. Be introspective and to make sure that I'm grounding and healing, and like that's why this journey for me has been so fucking mind-blowing, because wow, you know, like I wasn't doing any of this stuff, you know, just identifying as a Christian, and that could be because I wasn't at the right church or whatever the fuck the case may be, but I do not identify as a Christian. I'm not affiliated with religion at all. I would consider myself a spiritual person. I do believe in God, and I find God for me. I find God. I have time, and I pray, and I talk to God in my own way. I do it through like meditation and being out in nature and sitting with myself and journaling. And I'm into tarot. I don't read tarot cards for other people, but I read tarot for myself. And I'm still learning how to do that. I have an altar. My grandma's picture's at my altar. You know, like, I don't know. I've just always been super into, like when you watch, like, movies that have, like, sorcery and what the Christian folks would call, like, witchcraft and things like that. And, you know, like, I've always been super... especially when it comes to like black folks and that type of content, like Eve's Bayou. And I remember that movie very vividly. I used this as an example already, but Harry Potter, you know, like The Craft, you know, like I love shit like that. And I have always been intrigued by stuff like that. And that's probably why, because this was in me all along. And the Christian folks, and again, I'm not bashing anybody, like if that's for you, that's for you. It's just I don't feel aligned with that, and it brings me turmoil and discomfort trying to like fit myself into this box. And like, you know, like I definitely know I've sat and listened to some sermons where they was, you know, like being homophobic, and it's like, you know, like I truly believe that God made me, which means that like what and who I am attracted to, that is God made me like that. And I'm not getting ready to shame myself, and I don't want to be around people who are going to shame me or, you know, condemn me to hell, because like bitch, we're living in hell right fucking now. What the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, I think that hell is a mindset. I think that heaven is a mindset. Like, yes, I do actually believe that the soul and like after, what am I trying to say? Like the afterlife. Yes, I do believe that there is light, and like light would be heaven, dark would be hell. There's light and darkness in the afterlife. That's for sure. I believe in evil spirits. I believe in ghosts and shit like that. I do, you know, but like that doesn't necessarily mean that and a lot of Christians do too. You know, there's Christians and other religions that believe in that shit too, but like, I don't know. I'm not for shaming somebody because they're gay and saying like, oh, you're going to hell because you like to lay with the same sex. Like, I don't, y'all to each their own, but that, I don't believe that. I don't believe that we are created like that. We're created, and then it's just like, oh, the devil came in and temptation, and like, no, I don't think the devil is the reason that I'm attracted to women. I don't think that at all. I'm attracted to men too, you know, but like I understand that men and women make procreate, and if the goal is to of Christianity is to like spread the word of Jesus and to grow the community of God, I am doing that in my own fucking way. So y'all can miss me. But like, I don't know. I definitely remember hearing sermons about that and just like, I just never felt right about it. I always felt shame, you know? And another thing that I don't like is like some, and this, I can only speak for Christianity because that's how I grew up. I can't speak for any other religion. I've never been to like a Catholic church or what is that, mass, or I've never been to no other like religion, so, or like a, anyway, another thing I don't like and that I witnessed is like how one thing, what's that song, it was like a TikTok trend, it's all right, what does it say, it's all right when they do it, but it's a problem when I do it. Like, that's kind of the energy I be seeing sometimes, or kind of like kind of the vibe I be giving off sometimes, because I know that I've been to plenty of communions, okay? And it's a mass of people that comes and sit, midnight mass. Oh my god. Have y'all seen that on Netflix? Okay, sorry to like, sorry. That's a that movie was crazy. Or like, what is it? What, anyway, I have been to plenty of a communions, okay? With my grandmother, with my mom. Like, I have been to plenty. And literally it says, do this in, like, there's a sign at the church that says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. This wine or this grape juice or whatever represents the blood. This represents the flesh. Bitch, that's a ritual. So what we not about to do is condemn and say, you know, that's witchcraft, or you can't, y'all can't watch, or y'all shouldn't be watching this. This is witchcraft. This is sorcery. This is of the devil. Now, I'm not saying that communion is of the devil, but I just find it very interesting how this ritual is okay. The communion ritual is all right. But if I say that I'm about to like do some shadow work or something, no, that's the devil. No, it's not. It's literally not. Now, yes, there are actual people out here. I believe they're called Satanists, but that's what they do. Like, they actually worship the devil. I'm not saying that that's what I'm trying to do. Like, I'm just saying, like, and if you look at like tarot is literally a tale of like routes in life. Like, one of the cards is like the Fool. One of them is like lovers. You know, there is a death card, absolutely. There is a devil card, you know, like, but that has, like, it's subjective sometimes. It could be like what you are dealing with in your life, or like the path that you could potentially be walking down, you know, like it kind of like helps you to be like, okay, it just helps you. And I guess sermons can do that too. Again, I'm not bashing any religion, like, to each their own. But for me personally, I felt really conflicted in that space. And it could have been the church that I was at. It could have been the people that attend that church, you know, because I have had conversations with our officiant that married Wayman and I. Like, he's kind of like he's Christian, but like, we've had conversations, you know, and like, I've definitely heard him say like nigga, and like, you know, like, because I think that we should still be able to relate to each other, and we can't, I don't, like, I feel funny about people that walk around that are so like, oh, I'm so holier than you, that I, you know, like, I speak this way, or like, I never, you know, like, I wear this type of clothing and I never speak this way. Like, if I stub my pinky toe on something, I'm probably gonna say fuck, or I'm probably gonna say like shit. I'm probably, you know, like, I'm probably, a cuss word is probably gonna come out. And like, you know, like, I'm just like not your traditional type, you know. I don't know how you would describe that, but I kind of feel that our officiant is kind of like that too. Like, yes, he's a minister, but at the same time, like, he's lived, you know, like, he's married, he has children, you know, so like, and he's a black man, so like, at the end of the day, like, we can have real conversations about real things, and they can still have a little bit of root in, like, you know, like, he'll even say, like, now, the biblical way to look at this would be X, Y, and Z, but, like, there is, you know, there are other ways that you can perceive or that you can look at this situation. Either way, like, Robert, if you're listening, I love you. And I'm just really grateful that, you know, to have the conversations that we've had. And, you know, Robert is also Hollow's grandfather. Robert's not my dad, okay? But clearly somewhere in my mind, subconsciously, I see him as like my dad. So he's Hollow's godfather. So, you know, he's popped up over here a couple times, you know, to see Hollow, and love that. But like, it's just, I don't feel aligned with that. You know, like, I had to find God for myself. And you know, I didn't turn away, you know, but like, I had to find it for myself, and I'm still finding it for myself. And I love that for me. I love this journey for me, and I love this journey for everybody else who's on it. But yeah, I think that's kind of really what was on my heart to speak about as far as spirituality goes. But for me, I'm very into like grounding. I'm very into nature. I'm very into, I've already said a few of these things just in that last ramble I just did, but I meditate, I journal, I have an altar. You know, like I like to be out in nature. I like to read. I like to, you know, like ask myself, like, why do I feel like this? If something doesn't go my way, or if I'm feeling sad or anything like that, if an emotion comes up for me, the first thing that I have learned to do is to ask myself, why am I feeling this? Okay, so I'm feeling this because this happened. Okay, so, and you just keep going back. You just keep going back, and that's how you identify your triggers. That's how, like, this is like also psychological stuff. Like, some therapists and some like psychologists will like help with some of these tactics as far as like what we consider quote unquote shadow work, or, you know, like, it's really just getting introspective and asking yourself, you know, like, do I really like this? What does this mean to me? You know, and like, a lot of the time we don't do that. We're just going. I don't know how the fuck we doing it, but like, we just going, and a lot of the times we going off of shit we've been taught. We've been taught we had to work. We've been taught to what work, you know, traditionally looks like. It's a 5-day work week, 40 hours a week. You know, like, you get paid every 2 weeks. You know, like, we've been taught these things. School like teaches us about history, and history, like, quote unquote history. You know, and it just, it's, have y'all seen The Matrix? I'm gonna break it down. This is the easiest way, and really, since seeing The Matrix, this is how I was able to, you know, like, understand what the fuck was going on. Hold on, because why don't I hear the TV no more? Okay, never mind, I do. Lost my train of thought. Hold on. Looking for it. Have y'all seen The Matrix? There we go. This is kind of, ever since seeing The Matrix, I mean, I saw the first Matrix movie, like, young, but I don't know. That shit was weird to me at that point in time. I was young. I didn't know about systems, and I didn't know. Now I'm in the world, and I'm an adult, and I pay bills, and I have health insurance, and, like, I done been through the school system, and, like, I'm out that shit now, and I understand, like, The Matrix way better. But basically, there are systems that are put into place, right? And the system, like, that's what we're doing. We are in The Matrix. So you take that and let that resonate with you how it needs to. You decipher that how you need to. But we are literally in several matrixes. The school system is a matrix. The judicial system, it's literally called the school system is called the school system. The judicial system is called the judicial system. So, like, it's, the proof is in the pudding, y'all. Like, it's designed to work a certain way. And we, as humans, We're like the people that keep the systems working. And that so this is why the government and like the higher ups and stuff, they don't want us, it does not benefit them any for us to think on our own and for us to come up with our own shit. Like that doesn't bring them money. We go to school to learn how to work for the man and learn how to like play into these systems and be a quote unquote, what do they call it? Like a whatever person in society, like we play into that. We are what drives that system. So it just like, I didn't get that realization until I watched The Matrix again as an adult. And then I had to watch it, and then I had to process. And then I had to like, then I watched the second one, and then we watched the final one too, which I didn't really care for, because why the fuck wasn't Lawrence Fishburne in that movie? I gotta go check on the baby, but we gonna come back, and I want y'all to think about that. Why the fuck wasn't Lawrence Fishburne in the last movie? And another interesting thing to think about before I take this break. Somebody said that The Matrix, their opinion was The Matrix was about like trans people. Because both of the, like, the brothers are now trans now, and so this person was saying, like, how to them, they perceive The Matrix as being, like, a transition story from, you know, from transitioning. And I was like, interesting. I'm gonna go check on the baby, pay these bills, and we'll be back with the next segment. Consider a spiritual person. I am very much interested in how to raise my frequency, because as far as what I understand and how I see things, everything is energy. Everything has a frequency, you know? So like if you, and it just really speaks to the you are what you eat, or like you attract what you are, or like all these little sayings. Like, yes, and I believe that those sayings are talking about like the frequency of things, and you know, like the company that you keep. You know, like if you live by the bullet, you die by the bullet. You live fast, you die fast. You know, like all of these, those are all the same saying. In my mind. And what I mean by that is like, you vibrate on a certain frequency. That's why there's low frequency and there's high frequency, which is crazy because I'm a photographer and I edit, you know, pictures in Photoshop. And one of the actions that I use is high frequency separation, which it separates like the noise and it separates the texture and the color of the picture so that you can edit them separately without having to worry about fucking up the other one. Like, because if you do a lot of editing on the skin, you might fuck up the texture or cover up the texture. So anyway, I don't need to break that down for y'all. I just was, I felt like I knew some shit, so I was like, let me school y'all real quick. Lower frequency. I remember when that coach, what's that lady's name? Coach something. She's a black woman, life coach, I guess. And, to each their own, because some people do benefit from life coaches. I don't think that aligns with me, but, you know, that lady, coach, whatever, she was talking about that. This is a low vibrational plate. Like, girl, that's subjective, because you got meat on your plate. And you know, at the end of the day, like that's a dead animal. And when you ingest that dead animal, things happen. And there are things in that meat that could potentially be labeled as. So I just like that was a whole like. I was laughing, because like, what are, okay? I see that we're trying to like take that step into like, you know, but. As I was told by a great person, Miss Roe Townsend, like, who are we to, like, project our own journeys and, like, the shit that we've learned on these journeys? Who are we to then tell somebody else that that's the way to do it? We're not God. Yes, we are gods, you know, and we can, you know, like, we can elevate ourselves, you know, but then when you, like, I feel like this is happening and I see it, you know, like the spiritual community, and I'm kind of tapped into that community. Like sometimes I got to tap in and tap out, cause it's just, it's chaos everywhere, you know, like we're human. So like I do see in the spiritual community sometimes is like people start to get these followings and then they start to like, you know, give advice and whatnot. But then it can quickly turn into, this is what y'all need to be doing. And it's like, you know, like that's control. Like unless somebody is specifically asking, hey, so-and-so, what are your opinions as to how I can elevate myself in X, Y, and Z ways, right? Okay, then you can say, like, you can try X, Y, and Z, you know? Like, but the moment that you start saying, like, y'all need to do this, and y'all need to be this, and I need to be cool because I think, control, you know, I may have even said some things along this journey that I've been on, and if I have, please charge it to my head and not my heart, because that's not my intention, was not to like tell you or tell y'all what I think y'all should be doing. Y'all can do whatever the fuck y'all want to do because you have that choice. But if you know, like if you do have questions about like how to ground, or you know, like I can plant some seeds, but that's pretty much all I can do. See, Ro? Like, shout out to Rohini Townsend. Her business name is Light and Quirk. Follow her on social media. She has all of the things. Like, she is a great mentor for entrepreneurship. She is a great mentor if you had... she's just a great mentor, period. She has a lot of expertise in a lot of areas. Her business name is Light and Quirk. And so, yeah, maybe you should book something with her and just have some conversations. You know, I got acquainted with her on some entrepreneurship stuff. She used to be the manager up at Ujamaa Community Bookstore here in Indianapolis. And so, shout out to my friend Sean and my friend Kobe, because they basically put me on. Well, Sean introduced me to Ro. And then most of the time when I go see Ro, I either run into Sean or my friend Kobe, or the both of them. So, you know, it's all connected. But yeah, when I first got introduced to her, she put in a whole... Ooh, speaking of, that just reminded me that I gotta talk to the new lady up at Ujamaa. Okay, anyway. Note to self. So when I met her, she put in a wholesale order. That was my first time ever selling anything, any of my jewelry wholesale. And I made I think it was like a $500 order. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't nothing like $40, you know, let me get a couple earrings. It was like, let me get 16 earrings, 16 necklaces, 16. I was like, oh my God, I don't even have that much in inventory. So I had to make stuff. And yeah, it was a vibe. And that was at the very beginning of last year, right before I found out I was pregnant too. So I took my ass up to Ujamaa and took my earrings and stuff up there. And you can go buy a She Clay All Day Jewelry up at Ujamaa. So shout out to us. But the first conversation I had with Ro, it was about healing. And it was about, like, basically she asked me the question of, like, are a lot of people have to ask themselves, are you healed enough to be on this journey, this entrepreneur journey? And at that time, I was not. When I walked in Ro's room, she said, baby, you are giving heartbreak. Like, come talk to me. What's going on? Like, I know we're supposed to be having conversations about, like, your entrepreneur journey, but we need to talk about this because this, it's all connected. It's like a domino effect. They call it my friend Sean and his cousin Roni. Shout out to y'all. They have a podcast called the Lead Your Lineage Podcast. And they talk about generational wealth, breaking generational curses. And it's literally about leading your lineage into, like, you know, like breaking these chains. And, you know, like... So literally, like, it's all connected. They refer to it as the 360 self, mind, body, and spirit. All of them motherfuckers gotta be in line, because if they're not, then something, you know, like something is going to be off. It doesn't, I don't really know in what aspect, but something's going to be off if them shits are not aligned. And I learned that. I very much learned that. 2020, 2021, and even this year, I'm still learning that. And I'm, you know, working to align those things. So if you need seeds planted on how to do that, the first seed is Rohini Townsend. Her business name is Light and Quirk. The second seed is the Lead Your Lineage podcast. These are just, that's a piece of content that you can, you know, like watch and you can like, you know, like, you think, you know, I also would suggest reading the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm only like a quarter of the way. That's a thick ass book, y'all. I've read some of it. I'm not finished with that book yet, but I've already got so many gems from that book already, but again, I'm not finished with it. I would also suggest the 4 Agreements, and I follow some spiritual people on YouTube. The baby is, she needs my attention again, so we're gonna go ahead and wrap this thing up. I'm gonna come back for the outro and tell y'all about this date, but I also would suggest looking up like spiritual people on YouTube or maybe even TikTok. Don't take that shit for face value though, because you're only seeing that on the internet. But you know, see who resonates with you. I am very fond of a woman named the Queen Poe. She's a fair skin, she's a black woman. She has locks. She wears a lot of head wraps. She talks and teaches about African spirituality, hoodoo, voodoo. She talks about literally a lot of things. A lot of things. So I've found a lot of her content to be interesting and things that I can like build off of as far as you know, like introspection and being introspective with myself. But yeah, just tap in. There's literally the internet. You can find a lot of things on the internet and just find what resonates with you. Those are the seeds that I'm gonna plant. If you haven't try to meditate, you know, maybe try to find some meditations that resonate with you. Women, ladies, to all my lady listeners, y'all, we hold a lot of trauma in our womb and in our hips, okay? And that sexual trauma, that's a lot of, you could have been in a car accident, like anything. We do hold trauma in those areas, and that can cause things like if you're trying to conceive and you're not having luck, but like you're physically healthy and like, you know, mentally you're doing pretty good, then you could be holding, you know, so maybe yoga or, you know, some Reiki healing, things like that, to where we can like release that trauma that's stored there. I've learned that, you know, like one time I did this hip opener, I was doing yoga. Like I just got introduced to yoga maybe in this journey. So it's only been about two years. But one time I was doing some yoga, with like this group, that I used to do yoga with. And I don't know, I didn't know anything about trauma being stored in the hips or anything like that. We did some like hip opener thing, and baby, I started crying, like weeping. I couldn't explain it. It felt so good, and then I just immediately started crying though, like because we store trauma there, ladies, you know, and it doesn't even go for. I'm sure men can store trauma there too, but like yoga's good for men and women. And it's good for just stretching the body and releasing some of that shit. Because that's what we really need to do. When we talk about toxic men and toxic women and we having all these stupid ass conversations about what the fuck we bring to the table, etc., etc., etc. A lot of that is rooted in the trauma that we are carrying, or the trauma that we internalize, or the trauma that we just pushed away, you know, like it's still there, but like we ain't thought about it. Like we need to release that shit. One being because the body is not meant to hold trauma. This is why people also, now there are other causes of things like heart attacks, high blood pressure, and just like there are other causes, but I know y'all have heard that stress can literally kill you. stress and trauma and guilt and all that fucking shit, that can kill you. Because the body is not meant to hold that shit. It's not designed for that. That shit, you know, like holding on to that shit will really like shut your shit down on the inside. You gotta let go. You gotta release that shit. And literally, like, you gotta heal. We all need to be on these healing journeys. And that's literally just a fact, because everybody has something that they need to heal from. Whether it be in you never got over the death of your parents, or I don't know, like you lost a friend, or you were sexually assaulted, or you just made some bad decisions, and you know, like maybe you did some jail time, or maybe you're in jail right now, or you know, like anything to where in the Four Agreements, the book I said not too long ago, it talks about like how humans just sit and like rack our brains over like woulda, coulda, shoulda shit. And we just do that over and over and over again. And that's, you know, like, that's not doing you no good. That's not doing us no good. We got to release that shit. We got to feel our feelings. And we got to move on and let that shit go. And tell ourselves that it is okay. We are human. We make mistakes. We said things. We may have said things we don't mean. But that does not define you. You can change. But you have to want to change. And for me, in 2020, I basically figured out that I wanted to change. And I was tired of, you know, feeling depressed and tired of, like, isolating myself. And, like, because I do. When things don't go my way, or, like, I'm fucked up about some shit, like, one thing I'm gonna do is isolate myself. Because I don't want to, like, be a downer to anybody else. But, like, sometimes sitting in that funk is real ugly too, to where like even if I don't want to be a downer to anybody, you speak to me and I got that shit going through my mind, I'm about to leave, you know, like I'm about to snap, and I'll probably project. And we have to learn, and then we learn so that we can unlearn all these unhealthy habits and behaviors and shit that we didn't accumulate over time. For whatever the fuck, like like sometimes you go through something, and to survive that, you had to develop, you know, like a behavior or something to help you survive. But like, you know, like we still have to we don't want to be in survival mode forever. Like that's just not healthy either. Like we need to welcome ease, and we need to affirm ourselves, and we need to like just be confident, and you know, understand that like we also have people on the other side. You know, especially like when I'm talking about like Black folks, like this is why I love being Black, because like I'm so empowered by the fact that I have ancestors and stuff on the other side. You know, we have freedom fighters, and we have freaking Martin Luther Kings, and all, you know, all Rosa Parks. We have all of these fat, great, excellent people, you know, like, and I truly believe that energy never dies. So like, and we're mirrors, like we are these people. We're just, you know, like reincarnated or whatever the fuck, like we are that. We are all mirrors of each other, which is how we can relate, and is how we can like say, oh damn, you know, like I understand what you're going through, because I've been through that, or something similar. Like we're mirrors. But we also need to learn like words like projection, and we need to learn gaslighting, and we need to learn like how to be more mindful of things, because often we don't even know that we're doing that. And then it's like, okay, ignorance truly is bliss, because then once you actually learn that you're doing that shit, then it's hard to stop. Then it's hard to like, oh shit, wait a minute. But then like that's what I love about growth, and that's what I love about this journey. Life is truly, truly, truly a journey. I am not the person that I was in college. And we should be growing. Change is good. And you know, we've all seen and met people that don't change. They don't like change. It fucks them up. They can't handle it. But like, change is good. You know, we shed. Just like animals and whatever the fuck, they be shedding their old skin. We do that too. I'm not the same person I was in college. I'll be 30 in September. Today is August 15th. So a month from yesterday, I will be 30 years old. And like, you know, like, hopefully I have 30 more years left, you know, but like, it's just a lot, you know, like we've been through a lot. We've been through the schools. We was in school for what, 12 years? Some of us longer than that. Once you count college, all that learning and all that trauma bonding and all that, like we have to shed that to be able to walk into these new spaces and to be able to accept that new position and to be able to, you know, like it happens. It's evolution and it's normal and it's positive. And you know, like I love that. I love that for us, especially us collectively as Black folks. I can't wait. Because there are more and more people that are waking up, and there are more and more people who are saying, you know what, I did do some fucked up shit, but I'm not that person. I don't want to be that person anymore. And I'm, you know, like, how do, and then they start doing the work. They start doing that work. How do we make sure that I don't become that person again? Well, we probably have to backtrack as to why you were that person and what you was going through. But like, you know, healing is beautiful. And I love y'all, and we gonna do this outro, and because I'm really excited to tell y'all about this date. Okay, we'll be back. Bye. Bluey, y'all. Bluey is Hollow's Shiznai. Okay, it was like this. These are the shows that Hollow watches. Bluey being number one. She does like Doc McStuffins. She likes this show on Amazon Prime called Tumbleleaf. And she likes this show on Amazon Prime called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie. Y'all should be familiar with that, because that was like a book that a lot of us read in elementary school. So they animated it and they got it on Amazon Prime. And it's considered one of those low stimulation shows. I don't really know where Bluey falls on that list as far as like low stimulation or not. But sometimes if Hollow has kind of been a little like more stimulated when it's time to like, you know, wind down, I'll put on a non-stimulating show so that in my mind it helps to calm her down. I really kind of want to... It's so hard because I can, you know, like sit her in her crib and turn the TV on, give her a little snack and a juice or something, and she's pretty calm. So I can get done my earrings or some work or whatever the fuck the case may be. But I also be giving myself a hard time because I'm like, man, I don't want her to, you know, I don't want her sitting in front of the TV and like, you know, just like getting too much screen time. I'm sure that can't be good. But I don't know, I'm trying to find the balance in it, because we do still go outside, and that's why I like to take her a lot of places with me, because honestly, we do spend a lot of the time. I'm a stay-at-home mom. Me and Hollow spend a lot of time in the house, and so that's why going outside is so important, and grounding is so important for me, because I know how the fuck I be feeling when I don't do that. Like, y'all know, we was in quarantine for I don't know how long, 2 weeks, I think, or whatever the fuck the case was. Just being in the house, you know, ain't no fresh, I can open the windows, and that helps. But, like, it still hits different when you actually step outside and put your feet in that grass and let that sun hit your skin. It's I don't know, it is different. You're actually, that's fresh air, you know, like, being cooped up in the house, sometimes I be feeling like I can't breathe at all, and not that, like, the air in my house is thick, it's just, like, after, you know, like, a week or something in the fucking house, I don't know, like, I need sunshine, I need fresh air, I need to breathe the fresh air. I don't know, I know some of y'all can relate, but she loves Bluey, man. We're thinking about doing a Bluey birthday party because Hollow is 10 months old today. And I'm really, just that alone, I literally almost started crying, because where has the time gone? Woo! I'm not gonna do it, y'all. I'm not gonna get emotional, but I get emotional every time. every milestone, every, like, I get emotional every time, because it's just like, this is like a dream of mine, a dream come true. And I'm literally a mom now, and now it's just like time is just speeding up. And like, it already was going pretty fast, because I blinked and my 20s was over. And here I am, literally last year of my 20s. My birthday is a month from now. And, you know, I'll soon have a one-year-old. She's already got six teeth. She's trying to walk. Literally, she picked up something off the floor yesterday, and Wayman saw her pick it up off the floor, and he immediately, like, ran over to her. She got up. She was getting ready to crawl away. She said, nope, not today. She stood up, and she tried to run. Like, girl, you can barely even walk. I felt how frantic she was trying to get away from him. Like, no, don't take it from me. She literally rose her little butt up. Instead of crawling away, she said, no, I'm about to try to walk. And then she literally tried to run. I wish I could have got it on camera. I said, oh my God, Hollow, stop. Like, you don't have to stop, girl. You don't gotta grow so fast. You know, I got you. And it's just watching her learn and watching her develop and watching her grow. It hits different with this too, because I felt her growing inside my body. I felt her moving inside my body. And like, you know, like, then it just got to a point where it was like, okay, like, we 40 weeks, and it was, I think she was born at 41 weeks and like 2 days. But like, I just remember it like it was yesterday, and that was almost a year ago. It's so mind-blowing to me. And I'm sure, you know, for some of my listeners that have children, y'all went through this. So just bear with me, because I'm going through it now, you know, and I'm just like, God damn, my baby girl is almost one. I watched this video of this woman. She was taking her youngest child. She had three kids, and like her oldest two kids, it seemed like kindergarten was like some years ago for them. They're probably like going to like middle school or something. But her youngest daughter was going to kindergarten. And she walked her little girl into the classroom, and then she walked back out to her car, and she was just recording herself, you know? When she got in that car, she just broke down, and I just started weeping with her, because I felt it. I felt everything that she was going through, and my child is not even one yet. Kindergarten is five? I think they go to kindergarten at 5 years old. And I know that every kid doesn't necessarily have, like, every kid doesn't do preschool. So, like, even preschool probably choke me up a little bit if we do decide to do preschool. But, like, man, seeing that mom in her car weeping like that at her baby starting school, and she was literally like, I just was changing her diapers. I just was like, you know, like, she was still on the boob. Like, and now she just, you know, and she was, the little girl was so confident too. Like, she literally walked in the classroom. She didn't throw a fit. She was ready. She was very prepared to go to kindergarten. She's like, you know, bye mommy, I love you. Like, I got this, basically. And that mom was just like, how the fuck is she so independent? I don't understand. Y'all don't understand this pain. And I literally was just weeping with that woman watching her TikTok, because, bro, that's gonna be like 4 years from now. And if this 1 year that went by this fast, God, I'm just, you know, like, life, we all be saying it, life be lifing. And it's just like, God damn. I watched some of my friends go through this, you know? Like, I got friends with kids. You know, I got friends that had kids in high school, you know? So they kids is like teenagers now. Like, and it's just, it don't make it no better. I'm just like, how were you able to go through that? Like, what advice do you have for me? Because I'm going through it watching my baby grow like this. And like, you know, we be at home together and we just have this bond. I don't know. And lately, these last few months, Holo has been very independent. Like I said, I can sit her in her crib and just sit a couple toys in there and give her a snack, you know, like give her some juice or something, like a little, maybe a bottle. And she will sit in there and play in her crib and do all her baby talk. And, you know, like she watching TV and she in there laughing. And I'm just like, and like just trying to hold her. Like I'll bring her in the bed with me and try to like snuggle up with her. And she's like, no. I'd rather be crawling around, trying to walk, you know, doing my own thing, getting into everything. I'm like, but you're my baby. I want to hold you and kiss on you and, you know, how it used to be, you know? We 10 months in this motherfucker, girl. What you talking about? And she's like, yeah, I'm 10 months now. I'm not 1 month. I'm not 3 months old no more. Even at 3 months, she was trying to crawl. Holo's been crawling since she was, I don't know, like four months. She's been crawling for a minute. And then she's had teeth for a minute too. And it's just like, wow. Once the crawling and the teeth started coming in, she was a whole new person. She was a whole new person. And it's just so crazy. All right, y'all. We at the 10-minute mark. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this motherfucker up. And I told y'all I was going to talk about this date that I went on Sunday. So, yes, y'all, I am about to be 30 years old. I have been pretty much closeted my whole life. My mom is real. She has said some homophobic things about my friends and about me when she found out that I was into girls. And now she kind of talks about, like, the gays, like she's accepting, but shit, 2021, you know, and I'm like, this is what I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera. She's like, all right, well, don't bring that shit around me and my family. Girl, I am your family, and this is the shit that I'm talking about. I have always, like, even when I was younger and she found this shit out, she basically made me feel like I wasn't going to be able to be part of my own family. And I'm sorry, I'm trying not to get emotional again. I already feel, in a way, like I'm not part of my own family just because how I think. And how I, like, you know, I'm very sensitive. I'm very emotional to things. And just, like, watching everything that went down and things that I can remember from my childhood. Like, we moved around a lot. And, like, that was very traumatizing for me. I switched schools a lot. Very traumatizing for me. So I never really had a sense of stability in my childhood. And that has for sure shown itself in my adult life, to, you know, as far as, like, you know, I can't really think of an example right now, but it's kind of like abandonment, but not really abandonment. Like, I wasn't abandoned, I just never really had a safe and secure home. But abandonment is kind of like the closest feeling that I can, like, say it's like. But, you know, like, I never really felt part of my family because of that. I also never really felt part of my family because half of it was fucking missing. Where the fuck is my dad? Where the fuck is my dad's mom and my dad's dad? And you're telling me that my dad has sisters? Where are they? And why are they not in my life? Do they not like me? Do they not care about me? And I internalized that shit. These niggas don't care about me, so I didn't feel like, you know, like I didn't feel like I was part of a family really anyway. There was that. And then there's literally, like, the fact that I am queer. I, you know, like, technically I would identify as bisexual, but, like, you know, like, I'm not, like, if a trans woman were to ask me out, I wouldn't be, like, how there's all these conversations about, yeah, trans women should have to disclose and X, Y, and Z, like, other people saying that they think that trans people should do that. Like, if a trans man asked me out on a date, and he was fine, you know, like, and he, you know, had a good head on his shoulders, whatever the fuck, we can totally go, you know, like, I'm not that. I'm not, like, limited in that. I have a very open mind, and I've always had a very open mind. So, yeah. I've been closeted my whole life, and when my mom found out that I was lying about my quote-unquote best friend in high school, she wasn't really my best friend. Well, I mean, she was, but, like, I was romantically involved. We were dating, and I was lying about it. And so she was coming over to my house all the time, and yes, we was fucking, and, like, I was going over to her house all the time. Yes, we was fucking, like, you know, like, it, you know, and, like, some of my friends knew, but, like, I didn't disclose this to anybody in my family. That being said, once all hell broke loose with that, I basically, my mom, like, forbid me from hanging out with girls except, like, my actual best friend, you know, at the time. She was, like, the only girl that I could hang out with. When I went to school, I had to, like, go to school and then come home. I couldn't really do the extracurricular up until she, like, allowed me to do some of the extracurricular. But, like, she really was, you know, really oppressing me and being homophobic, that's for sure. And I can also, you have to think about as a parent, you know, like, my mom had me at a very young age. So in my mind, I'm like, if you're trying to be my parent and you're concerned that I'm having sex too early, or I don't know, like, if you're concerned that, like, I could get pregnant, I get that. But, like, I'm gay, mom. So I, what really, what's the tea, sis? Because I'm not about to get pregnant. So what you worried about? That's how I kind of used to view it that way, but I digress. I basically had to tell my mom after a while, like, oh, you know, like, I'm not like that anymore. I like guys and guys only. And that wasn't the truth. You know, I just made it my truth, you know, but, like, I was still definitely very much flirting with girls, and girls were very much flirting with me, and, like, it was a thing. Like, it was just, it was hard, and it still is hard. Y'all know I'm married to Wayman. Wayman's known my tea this whole time, and we had some, like, conversations about it, like, why the fuck are you so, like, scared and ashamed of that? Like, that's not anything to be ashamed of. And I'm like, well, that's not how I've been made to feel based on my fucking mom and, like, even my grandma, may she rest in peace. My grandma, when she found out, she was like, girl, you're not gay. None of the Wilson women are gay. Like, what, grandma? We didn't call her grandma, I called her mama. But what are you talking about? That don't mean shit. Just because, you know, that don't mean shit to me. That nobody, that's also that you know of. Like, shit. It was, you know, at one point being gay was a death sentence. It's not like that no more. At least in America, it's not. I'm more, that's subjective. But, you know, like, it's not that taboo of a thing anymore. Like, it ain't no don't ask, don't tell, and, like, we about to stone you to death if you, like, that's not happening here in America. However, trans people are still being killed like crazy, and I don't understand that. Like, society can accept a woman with a woman or a man with a man, but the moment that a man says, this is not who I truly am, and he transitions to a woman, and he says, now I identify as a woman, this is who I truly am, my insides match, my outsides and my insides match now, and people can't handle that. Or vice, or a woman transitioning to a trans man, and people just can't fucking handle that. And then, you know, non-binary, or it's just like, that's when people start going apeshit. But for the most part, a man laying with a man and a woman laying with a woman, they can accept. And it's just weird. It's all fucking weird. And this outro is actually longer than what I wanted it to be. Sorry. But yes, I've been closeted this whole time. I'm so sorry to ramble for that long. I'm giving y'all backstory. I've been closeted this whole time. I've never really, like, come out. I know that some of y'all know my tea because I've talked to you about it, or, you know, and some of y'all may not have known. Well, you know now. So, I am in a heterosexual relationship, but I am not a heterosexual person. I went out on a date. I asked a woman out on a date, and she said yes. And we went out on a date on Sunday. My husband was okay with it. You know, we talked about it. We, you know, like, it wasn't nothing else. It was just a date. And then I had to go pick up, we had to go pick up Hollow after and come home. And, you know, like, it was just dinner. But y'all, it was so nice. Like, it was so nice. And I just felt so free. And I just felt like I've wanted to do this for so long. And I just felt like everybody was gonna try to stop me, and it really wasn't everybody. That's me exaggerating, but my, to a certain extent, my mom is my everything, you know, like, so if she don't like something that I'm doing, then I'm probably not gonna do that thing. I mean, I don't know, that's subjective too, but, you know, like, so I've just never been confident enough to really just, you know, say, this is who the fuck I am, and this is what I want to do up until this moment. So I asked to get a girl out on a date. She is a little younger than me, but it's, you know, like, I'm not worried about that, because, like, we can sit and have conversations, and it's not, like, an overwhelming, like, this girl is childish, you know, like, it's not that. We sat and had a beautiful conversation about, you know, like, healing, and men and women, and, like, you know, just kind of like that spiritual conversation in the last two segments. We was kind of having that kind of talk, and it just felt so real, and, like, you know, like, we were relating to each other, and we were understanding, and, like, she was looking at me in my eyes, and I was looking at her in her eyes, and, like, she just looked so beautiful, and, like, her face, like, she, obviously I did my makeup too, but, like, her makeup was so beautiful. Her hair was beautiful. She's a beautiful person. And, like, this is just a beautiful soul, you know, meet. And it just vibed. We just vibed. It was such a good time. And we went to this place called Verde. It's a Mexican restaurant. Y'all, this segment is really long. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to wrap it up. We went to this place called Verde. It's a Mexican restaurant, kind of like upper scale Mexican, but, you know, it wasn't too expensive. But yeah, we had some drinks, we had some tacos, and we just talked. You know, we went to dinner at 6. Reservations were at 6. We didn't leave until, like, after 9. We were sitting there talking and just, like, getting to know each other. Well, we kind of already know each, well, I wouldn't say no, like, but we know of each other, and we've met, and, like, we see each other out when I see her when I'm vending all the time, but, like, we see each other out and about, because we live in the same fucking city, right? But, like, we've never done this, and I'm just so glad that we did. And then, so I told her that I had a great time, and she told me that she had a great time. And then she told me that she would love to take me out on a date. So I don't know when that's going to be, but, you know, we'll have that conversation. Y'all, I bought her flowers. I literally, like, I got a really cute dress. And then the dress I got from Shein, it was fucking see-through. I didn't realize it until I tried that shit on. So I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to get something to go underneath the dress. And so she was like, well, like, go to, like, Walmart and see if they have, like, a little undergarment or something. And they did. So it just, like, it just worked. I was really nervous about if I was going to wear my locks out or if I was going to wear a wig. But, like, it was still hot. And, like, I also am learning how to, like repair my locks. I had 4 locks that fell out. Like, Hollow pulled out one of my locks. And then three other ones came out too, but they were just because I had combined two locks and it was like a little piece of it broke off from like me combining those two locks. So I successfully reattached all those locks to my hair using that little crochet method, and I think that my hair actually looks a little bit like neater. So I was like, oh, I'm just gonna wear my locks out. I did my edges, I did my makeup. Oh my god, not to mention that morning. So, oh my gosh, y'all. One of my friends is going through like a breakup, and it's just I'm not gonna speak too much on it. But that morning, I needed to be there for my friend, who was going through this breakup. Right, things got pretty ugly that morning, and so I was, you know, just being a good friend and being there for her however I could. And I spent, you know, majority of my day with her. And then I'm like, oh shit, I gotta start doing my makeup and getting ready for my date. For a second, I thought I was gonna have to cancel the date. But you see how spirit works? Because no, me and my friend just came to my house and we chilled. We talked things out, you know, like, and it just gave her space to just feel her feelings and tell her that everything was gonna be okay. And just being here to love on her, you know, in that. Cause I've been there before. Mirrors, we're mirrors. And we just go through it. We don't always go through it at the same time. You know, I went through this, what she was going through and some of the feelings that she was feeling. I went through that years ago with an ex-boyfriend of mine. And I'm healed from that situation now. So I was able to be here for her without being that friend that's like, girl, fuck that nigga. Da, 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 da. Like, let's go fuck his shit up, girl. Like, nah. No. Feel these feelings and you move on, and we gonna do something that makes, you know, like, we gonna do something productive that helps to keep your mind off this shit, but it's also like productive to your well-being. And all what that was, you know, watching TV at my house and just talking, and, you know, giving her space to cry if she needed to cry or whatever the fuck she needed, just giving her space and telling her that it was okay and that I was here for her, wiping her tears, you know, like, I felt real motherly that day. Anyway, long story short, I almost had to cancel the date because I wasn't sure how, but then I was like, no, Shanice, like, you also set the boundary. You told her that you had this date today. She knows about it, so, like, keep planning on the date. So, like, I brought my stuff out here in the living room. We was out here in the living room. I brought my mirror and my makeup out here, and I started doing my makeup, talking to my friend, you know, we can still do this. I got ready for my meeting. I got ready for the date, and once I was ready, she was like, "All right, girl, I'm gonna go ahead and head home, and just try to rest and be easy for the rest of the day," as she should have. And I went on my date, and it was beautiful. And the girl that I went on the date with is beautiful, and I love that for me. And that is the end of this episode. I'm so sorry this outro was so long, y'all. God. All right. But yes, I love y'all. This has been yet another episode of the Shani Show podcast. Be you. You are enough. You are capable and you deserve. What did Drake say in that song? May the neighbors protect you. May your neighbors respect you, angels protect you, and heaven accept you. Period. I love y'all. Y'all be easy, and we'll be back with the next episode soon. Peace.